Memsaheb Emma, based on Jane Austen's Emma and written by Tanika Gupta. Part 2.
Oh, such a magnificent creature. I love elephants, Emma Dee.
She's called Maharani. Every Monday they bathe her, just after morning prayers.
Oh, look, she's picked up the mahout.
Put me down, Maharani, put me down.
I thought this would cheer you up, Krishna.
Oh, Miss Bates has been talking incessantly about Jane Fairfax's arrival. She's in such a state of excitement.
Have you ever met Jane?
No, but I have of late been honored to hear all her letters read out by Miss Bates. Sometimes twice in one day.
Oh, you poor thing.
What is she actually like, Emma Dee?
I'm not sure. I'm slightly ashamed to admit that I'm not overly fond of her.
Why?
There's such a coldness, a reserve, such apparent indifference whether she pleases or not.
I hear she is beautiful.
Oh, yes. Anglo-Indian. Fair-skinned. She has that beautiful mix of dark and light, grey eyes and dark lashes. Her face is beautiful. Her figure is perfect. A most elegant woman who sings like a nightingale and plays a pianoforte with a light touch.
She arrives tomorrow.
That is soon. I must invite the Bates for dinner, and you must come too.
Oh, I'm drenched.
Miss Fairfax, will you not sing for us?
Oh, my apologies, but I still have a bad throat and do not want to torture you with my croaky voice.
Her visit to the hill station has left Jane quite poorly. You should see what she ate for breakfast these 2 days. Just 2 bananas. And her evening meal of fried fish and dal went quite untouched. Oh, she will waste away.
It is just a cold, Aunt.
Hill station? Why on earth did you do that? Must have been very cold up there.
I had one last holiday with the Campbells and the Dixons in Darjeeling. Oh. It was delightful.
Oh, did you meet a Frank Churchill there? You know he's Shibe Weston's son from his first marriage.
I was a little acquainted with Mr. Churchill.
Oh, what a coincidence. What is he like? Is he as handsome and charming as they say?
I believe he is thought of as a very fine young man.
Is he agreeable?
He was generally thought so.
Did he appear a sensible young man, a man of information?
It was very busy with visitors and thus a little difficult to decide on such points. But from my limited dealings with him, Mr. Churchill's manners seemed to be very pleasing.
I'm sure Mr. Churchill is a very pleasant sort of Englishman. But I do not understand why the foreigners all feel that the moment they are struck by a little heat in this country, they all have to charge up the mountainside. There are landslides, and the paths are so dangerous.
We had a magical view of the Himalayas, the shining white peaks glistening in the sunlight.
Sounds terrifying to be so high up. Now, Jane, Betty, let us hear you sing and play.
Yes.
Huh? Indulge an old man.
Bhattacharya Mahashaya, you are not old. My mama is old, but not you.
What?
You are old, mama.
81 years of age.
Oh, do sing for us, Jane. We do not have such a beautiful pianoforte at ours. In fact, we do not have a pianoforte at all.
If that is what you wish, Aunt.
Oh, very good, very good.
Miss Bates, I do not know a more luxurious state than sitting at one's ease to be entertained by two such young women as Emma and Jane.
Oh, my. That's beautiful.
Did the money see? Kingfisher blue, shot with gold thread. Oh, this color suits you. And this one? Banarasi silk.
Oh, it's very heavy. I'd hardly be able to walk in this.
To wear to weddings. And you know, Didi Moni, at weddings, all we do is sit and eat and gossip, so you don't have to move.
Oh, can I see the tangal sari again? The crimson one with the...
Namaskar, Krishna.
Sumit.
Don't worry, I'm not following you. I'm here with my mother and sister.
Is that them over there?
Yes. Ma has decided she wants some plain cotton saris this season. By the way, I think the blue one would suit you. It's your color.
Babu is right.
Yes, but I'm not sure if...
Didi Moni, you want to see some more Tangal saris? I can get them from the back.
Yes, please.
You're looking well, Krishna.
I am well, thank you. And how are you?
As well as can be expected. I didn't want to embarrass you. I would have left you in peace, but Ma sent me over. She wants you to come and say hello. Shundari is here too.
Oh yes, I'd like to see them. I think of them often.
And me? Do you ever think of me? No. That's an unfair question. Come over and speak to them, please. There's no need for you and Shundari not to still be friends just because I got in the way. She misses you.
And I her.
A very pleasant evening, Betty. You'd left nothing undone.
Thank you, Papa.
There is nobody half so attentive and civil as you are. Oh, it is a pity that the Bates' circumstances should be so difficult. There is so little one can venture to do for them. Small, trifling presents. But now we have killed a goat. Perhaps we should...
I have already sent Miss Bates the goat. Oh. I knew you would wish it.
There you are, Emma. Potacharji Moishai. I came looking for you at Shantigarh, but Ali said you'd gone for a walk.
My daughter forced me out on exercise.
Walking is always good for you, Potacharji Moishai.
It is such a beautiful morning.
I have some news, Emma, which might interest you.
Oh, my dear sir, how are you this morning? Oh, my dear Emma, Anahoshai Potacharji, I come quite overpowered. You are too bountiful. A whole goat. Oh, my mother sends her best compliments and gracious thanks.
The goats on our estate are very tasty. The best in Bengal. Oh,
if ever there were people who, without having wealth themselves, had everything they could wish for, I am sure it is us. A goat.
Have you heard? Mr. Elton is to be married?
There is my news, Emma. I thought it might interest you.
You have heard too, Roy Babu. Miss Augusta Hawkins. English, of course. There was a time when I thought he might go for one of our Bengali beauties, but no, he has settled for his own sort.
Elton Shahib? To be married? But he has only been gone 4 weeks.
One feels that it cannot be a very long acquaintance.
Jane has never seen Mr. Elton. She will be so curious to meet him.
Oh, Krishna.
Sorry?
I was just thinking. Mr. Elton will have everybody's wishes for his happiness.
He is very young to be settled. He seemed well off as he was. Why does everyone have to get married?
Well, Krishna, how were the Chaudhrys?
It went, that is to say, awkward to start with, and then... Oh, I'm feeling too much.
Is Chaudhry there?
No, just Srimati Chaudhry and Shundari. We talked, just niceties to start with, and then all of a sudden Srimati Chaudhry said she thought I was grown, and she was warmer. Then I saw all the markings on the wall where we had all measured ourselves, and... Hemadhi...
Go on.
Shumit had made the markings in pencil and they were still there. We all remembered the day, the hour, the party, the occasion. And we were just growing again like ourselves, getting back to the same friendship when your carriage arrived and my visit was over.
Your message was clear and decisive, though. A short visit.
Only 15 minutes, but so many memories of a happy summer together.
Elton Shahib on the one hand and the Chaudhrys on the other. It is a bad business for you, Krishna. I do feel for you. I would have given a great deal to have the Chaudhrys in a higher rank of life.
They are good people.
We will have some nice refreshment at home. Yes? You will soon cheer up.
How very pleasant to finally meet your charming young son, Western Shahib.
And you brought him straight to us. We are honoured.
Mr. Bhattacharjee is the most important man in town, so I felt duty-bound to show my son off.
Okay, I am so delighted to make all of your acquaintances. Such a beautiful corner of the world. The paddy fields, the big green crops growing in the fields.
Big green crops?
Yes, what are they? Look like corn, but I don't think...
Jute.
Miss Bhattacharjee, you can see I am an idiot when it comes to anything agrarian. Are you a horsewoman?
In the grounds of our estate, yes, but I am not permitted to go farther.
You are fortunate. The grounds are extensive here, I see. Pleasant rides, pleasant walks?
A little hot for me. The sun beats down so.
Sounds perfect to me. I see you have a river.
It flows right through the estate.
Any fishing? Do you have a large neighbourhood here? I noticed some pretty houses. Any balls? Is it a musical society?
So many questions, Frank.
Forgive me, I'm very keen to get to know the neighbourhood.
Your absence at your father's wedding was noted, Mr. Churchill. It is a pity you could not attend.
Not a pity, sir, a disaster. My dear aunt just would not let me go. But, I must say, my father's marriage has been the wisest measure. Every friend must rejoice in it.
Hear, hear.
I dined with my new mother last night.
We all got along splendidly. Laughed a lot, didn't we, Frank?
We did indeed. Such a warm welcome to a son coming home.
Home. Yes. You are home, Frank.
Laughing and eating at the same time is extremely hazardous.
Oh, Papa, you cannot scold a family united for being happy in each other's company.
I had an old aunt who laughed so hard at her daughter's wedding whilst eating that she choked on a Hilsa fishbone and died.
Goodness me, really, how dreadful.
Churchill Shaib, I am pleased you have finally met dear Mrs. Weston.
Elegant, agreeable manners I was prepared for, Miss Bhattacharjee. But I confess that, considering everything, I had not expected more than a tolerably well-looking woman of a certain age. I did not know that I was to find a pretty young woman in Mrs. Weston.
You cannot see too much perfection in Mrs. Weston for my feelings.
We've had an invitation to dine with the Darcys. Will you be going?
The Darcys? They are the traders who live by the canal.
Yes, made a small fortune in indigo. They've invited us all.
Nothing would tempt me to go.
Why ever not? It'll be fun. And I need your company, Miss Bhattacharjee. There may be dancing.
The Darcys are very respectable in their own way, but they ought to be taught that it is not for them to arrange the terms on which superior families will visit them.
No dining with the lower castes.
I am not fond of dinner visiting. I never was. No more is Emma. Late hours do not agree with us.
I do not stand by your caste system. I find it divisive.
But with all due respect, Mr. Weston, I have noticed that in governing our lands, your employers, the East India Company, do use it to their advantage.
That is your opinion, sir, but my opinion is that all men are created equally.
And women?
Oh, Miss Bhattacharjee, women are not equal. They are infinitely superior to men. In looks, beauty, accomplishments, refinements, and especially in intelligence and good sense.
Well said.
We should be going to the Darcys, and I believe Mr. Roy has accepted the invitation too.
Yeah, I have the honour of being acquainted with a neighbour of yours, a lady residing in or near Grampur. Fairfax is her name, though I believe that is not the proper name. Barnes? Bates?
We know the family well.
Yes, Miss Bates, her mother and her niece, Jane Fairfax.
Ah, Jane, that's the name.
I remember you saying you met Jane Fairfax in Darjeeling. Call upon her by all means.
Perhaps not today. There is no rush.
Go today, Frank. Do not defer it. If you do not call early, it will seem as a slight.
Jane is a very elegant young woman.
Yes. I will go today. Are the Bateses considered lower caste like the Darcys?
Anglo-Indian family, very different, you know. But let me assure you, Jane is a very agreeable young lady and she sings beautifully. I hope you will hear her.
Sadly, you will not hear her at all, for Jane Fairfax has an aunt who never holds her tongue.
I'm afraid that is true.
Imagine Srimati Bhattacharjee, such a shock. A piano forte. It arrived as if from nowhere.
What does Jane say?
She does not know either.
It is a very elegant looking instrument. Was there no gift note?
Oh, Jane is quite bewildered to think who could have possibly ordered it. But now we are both convinced that it can only be from Colonel Campbell.
One can suppose nothing less.
But Jane had a letter from them lately and not a word was said about it. Oh, look, there is Mrs. Das. Oh, I must greet her.
Hello.
Why do you smile?
Me? Why do you?
I suppose I smile for pleasure at Colonel Campbell being so rich and so liberal. It's a beautiful present.
You suspect something. If Colonel Campbell is not the giver, who is? I shall be guided by your suspicions.
What do you say to the Dixons?
A joint present from Mr. and Mrs. Dixon. Yes, it could be. We were speaking the other day, you know, of his being so warm an admirer of her performance.
I do not mean to reflect upon the good intentions of either Mr. Dixon or Miss Fairfax, but I cannot help suspecting either that after making his proposals to her friend, he had the misfortune to fall in love with her. I do not require you to adopt all my suspicions, but I honestly tell you what they are.
And upon my word, they have an air of great probability.
And then he saved her life. She slipped on the mountain path and nearly fell down into a steep-sided gorge. He caught her.
He did. I was there. One of the party. It was the work of a moment that he caught her just in time. But yes, I do believe that the pianoforte is a gift, an offering of love.
Why are you staring at Jane like that?
Really, Jane Fairfax has done her hair in so very odd a way, I cannot keep my eyes off her. Excuse me, I must go and ask her whether she is wearing a wig. You shall observe how she takes it, whether she blushes.
My dear Emma, do you know how Miss Bates and her niece came here?
They walked?
No. Mr. Roy brought them by his carriage and is taking them back too.
He is a humane man.
The more I think about it, the more probable it appears. In short, I have made a match between Mr. Roy and Jane Fairfax. What do you say to it?
Roy Dada must not marry. Oh, my dear nephew would not inherit the estate then. Jane Fairfax, Mem Shaib of the estate. Every feeling revolts.
I think he is in love with Jane.
Nonsense. It would be a very shaming and degrading connection. How would he bear Miss Bates being part of his family? To have her haunting his house all day and night, thanking him for his great kindness in marrying Jane. Oh, so very kind and obliging. But he has always been such a kind neighbor.
Oh, for shame, Emma. Do not mimic poor Miss Bates. But one other idea occurred to me. This pianoforte, may it not be from Mr. Roy? I have heard him lamenting her having no instrument repeatedly.
You take it up as an idea and run away with it, as you have reproached me with doing. I see no sign of attachment.
My esteemed guests, please do come into the dining room. Dinner is served.
So dry. When was the last time you applied oil to it?
Weeks and weeks ago.
Really, Emma Dee, such beautiful thick hair, but you do not maintain it properly. Is it true that Churchill Sahib is going to organize an English ball here in Grandpur?
Yes, with dancing.
I have never been to a ball. How exciting. Will we be able to wear saris or a proper ball gown?
Oh, saris, of course. They are much more elegant and less cumbersome.
Oh, good. Everybody said how well you played last night.
Those who know anything about it must know the truth, which is, Krishna, that my playing is just good enough to be praised, but Jane Fairfax's is much beyond it.
Well, I think that you play quite as well as she does. Mr. Frank Churchill talked a great deal about your taste and that he valued taste much more than execution.
Ah, but Krishna, Jane has them both.
The Ghoshes were wondering last night if she would get employment with a rich English family. Apparently, Shumit dined with them last Saturday. They talked a great deal about him, especially Asha Ghosh. She asked me if I thought I should go and stay there again next summer.
She is impertinently curious at Asha Ghosh.
She said he was very agreeable and he sat by her at dinner. Miss Bates thinks that both the Ghosh sisters are desperate for their father to arrange a marriage with Shumit and that they are fighting over him.
Very likely. I think they are, without exception, the most vulgar girls in Grandpur.
I met the new Mrs. Elton at the shop yesterday.
Yes, I have seen her.
She seemed very charming and quite beautiful. I wish them both happy with all my heart. I do not think I shall mind seeing them again. He is just as superior as ever. But being married, you know, it's quite a different thing. He called her Augusta. How delightful. Now, Emadi, you must sleep with the oil in your hair.
I smell of coconuts.
Wash it out tomorrow morning, not a moment sooner. Hmm? Oh.
Churchill Shaib, have you come to join me in my solitary horse ride?
Alas, no. I have bad news.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Weston.
Oh, they are well, but I have received an urgent letter from my uncle in Calcutta. He urges my return as my aunt is unwell.
I wish her a speedy recovery.
The ball will have to be cancelled.
Oh, we were all so looking forward to it.
Of all horrid things, leave-taking is the worst.
But you will come again?
Ah, the uncertainty of when I may be able to return. Such a fortnight as it has been. Every day more precious and delightful than before. Happy those who can remain in Grandpur.
Must you be off very soon?
Yes, immediately. I called on the Bates and Miss Fairfax as I was passing their door, but I wanted to say farewell to you in person.
Grandpa perhaps will the... be... Oh. You first.
No, please.
All I was going to say was that you will be missed greatly by everyone.
Miss Bhattacharjee, I think you can hardly be without suspicion. That is to say, I wanted to tell you... Hey, shh, shh, shh.
What? What was it that you wanted to say, Mr. Churchill?
Just that my regard for Grandpur is most warm. I must be off. I shall hear about you all through Mrs. Weston's letters. She has promised to write regularly and tell me everything. Shake hands with me, Miss Bhattacharjee. Goodbye.
I was passing by and thought I should drop in.
How lovely, Mrs. Elton, but I am about to go out. Mrs. Weston should be arriving any moment.
We have called upon the Westons. Very pleasant English people. I like them extremely. They will keep myself and Mr. E. good company here. Mr. Weston seems an excellent creature, quite a first-rate favourite with me already, I assure you. And she appears so truly good. She was your governess, I think? Yes. Having understood as much, I was quite astonished to find her so ladylike. But she is really quite the English gentlewoman.
Mrs. Weston's manners were always particularly good.
And who do you think came in while we were there? Roy himself. Was it not lucky? I had never seen him before, and of course, as so particular friend of Mr. E's, I had a great curiosity. My friend Roy had been so often mentioned that I was really impatient to see him, and I must do my corresposo the justice to say that he need not be ashamed of his friend. Roy is quite the Indian gentleman, and Jane Fairfax is absolutely charming, Miss
Bhattacharjee.
Indeed. I quite rave about Jane Fairfax. We must exert ourselves and endeavour to do something for her. We must bring her forward. She's in such obscurity here in Grandpur, so thrown away.
I am sure that Jane...
My dear Miss Bhattacharjee, a vast deal may be done by those who dare to act. You and I need not be afraid. If we set the example, many will follow. We must notice Jane. It is the right thing to uphold one's own race and society, even if it is mixed. But she looks more English than Indian, and she will make an excellent governess in an Englishman's home.
Oh, she's a beauty.
So elegant when she canters. What have you named her?
Shrimati.
Oh,
excellent name.
Keeping horses is one of my strange extravagances.
Especially strange when you walk everywhere and refuse to take a carriage, Roy Thacker.
Oh, we're expecting Frank to visit us again. He wrote to us this morning.
That is wonderful news.
He has been away for 2 months, has he not?
Yes. When Frank left us, it was quite uncertain when we might see him again.
You are always welcome to come and take Shrimati out for a ride, anytime.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, you must extend the offer to Jane Fairfax. I think I heard her say that she enjoys riding horses.
If she can get away from her patron as Mrs. Elton. I wonder why Jane tolerates her. She's always walking with the Eltons, sitting with them, spending the day with them. Astonishing!
Well, perhaps it is better than being with her aunt as a constant companion.
Such a woman as Jane Fairfax probably never fell Mrs. Elton's way before, and no degree of vanity can prevent her from acknowledging her own comparative littleness.
You think very highly of Jane?
Yes, I do.
The extent of your admiration may take you by surprise someday.
So, you have been settling that I should marry Jane Fairfax. Am I another victim of your hunger to arrange marriages?
Upon my word, no. I do not have the smallest wish for you to marry Jane Fairfax, or Jane anybody for that matter. You would not spend time with us if you were married.
I can assure you I have no interest in Jane Fairfax. I dare say she would not have me if I were to ask her, and I am very sure I will never ask.
Well, you are not vain, Mr. Roy. I will say that for you.
Now, ladies, what say you to us all taking a ride together? I would be honoured to be your chaperone.
Oh, yes, please.
I shall get the stable boy to saddle up the horses. Wait here, please. Munna, chalo.
What do you say now to Mr. Roy's marrying Jane Fairfax?
My dear Emma, I say that he is so very much occupied by the idea of not being in love with her that I should not wonder if it were to end in his being so.
What is this I hear, Jane? Going to the post office in the rain? You sad girl, how could you do such a thing?
I reached home before the rain was very much.
It rarely rains at this time of year, and so it wasn't very heavy.
But still, fetching one's own letters.
It is my daily errand. I always fetch the letters when I'm here. It saves trouble and is something to get me out. A walk before breakfast does me good.
Yes, indeed. I feel the same.
Oh, she shall not do such a thing again. We will not allow her. There must be some arrangements made. I shall speak to Mr. E. The little black servant boy, I forget his name, who fetches our letters every morning, shall inquire for yours too and bring them to you.
You are extremely kind, but I cannot give up my early walk. I must walk somewhere.
It will not do, Jane. The thing is determined.
Have you heard that Shaheb Churchill is expected to arrive any day now?
Is that so?
It means that the Westons will host a Christmas ball for us all here in Grandpur.
A Christmas ball? Oh, I do hope so.
We shall all look forward to it. And Jane, I will lend you one of my ball gowns.
I would prefer to wear a sari.
No, no, no. A ball gown. Saris are for the Indians.
I prefer saris.
So do I.
We shall see. Jane, I get quite anxious for you. January will be upon us soon. Have you heard of nothing?
I have not made any inquiry.
I shall write to Mrs. Partridge in a day or two, and shall give her a strict charge to be on the lookout.
Thank you, but I would prefer you did not mention the subject to her till the time draws nearer. I do not wish to be giving anybody any trouble.
No trouble at all, I assure you. A situation such as you deserve is no everyday occurrence. We must begin inquiring immediately.
Excuse me, Mem Sahib, but this is by no means my intention. I make no inquiry myself. When I am quite determined as to the time, I am not at all afraid of being long unemployed. There are places in town where inquiry would soon produce something. Offices for the sale. Not quite of human flesh, but of human intellect.
Oh, my dear, human flesh. You quite shock me. I am rather a friend to the abolition.
Miss Fairfax does not mean the slave trade.
No, I assure you. Governess trade was all that I had in view. Widely different, certainly, as to the guilt of those who carry it on. But as to the greater misery of the victims, I do not know where it lies.
It is my duty to find you a placement in the family, moving in a certain circle, able to command the elegancies of life.
Mem Sahib Elton, I am obliged to you, but I am quite serious. For 2 to 3 months longer, I shall remain where I am and as I am.
Yeah.
Mr. E, nobody can think less of dress in general than I do, but upon such an occasion as this, when everybody's eyes are so much upon me, and in compliment to the Westerns, whom I have no doubt are giving this ball chiefly to do me the honour, I would not wish to be inferior to others.
Augusta, dear, you are always so gracious.
I see very few pearls in the room except mine.
How do you like Mrs. Elton?
Not at all.
She has been good to me.
And I think her husband rather priggish. But how well suited they are for each other. Very lucky marrying as they did, upon an acquaintance formed only in a public place. They only knew each other a few weeks, I think, in Calcutta. Peculiarly lucky.
Though such things do occur undoubtedly to both men and women, I cannot imagine them to be very frequent.
Always so serious, Miss Fairfax. I have so little confidence in my own judgment that whenever I marry, I hope somebody will choose my wife for me. Miss Bettacharji, will you choose a wife for me? I'm sure I should like anybody fixed on by you. Find somebody for me.
Very well. I undertake the commission. You shall have a charming wife.
She must be very lively and have hazel eyes. I care for nothing else. I shall go abroad for a couple of years, and when I return, I shall come to you for my wife. Remember.
Excuse me. I must find my aunt.
We are about to start dancing, Miss Fairfax. Will you not join in? Everything is going well, Father. When are we to begin the dancing?
I'm afraid we're going to have to ask Mrs. Elton to begin the ball.
But I thought Miss Bettacharji and I were to lead the dance.
She rather expects it and would feel snubbed if we don't ask her.
I'm sorry, Emma.
I am perfectly happy.
You and Miss Bettacharji can stand second. Come on. Ladies and gentlemen, I would ask Mrs. Elton to do the honour of leading tonight's ball with a dance.
Oh, Mr. Weston, how delightful.
Miss Bettacharji, will you do me the honour?
With pleasure.
Do you not dance, Mr. Elton?
Most readily, Mrs. Weston, if you will dance with me.
Oh, me? Oh, no. I will get you a better partner than myself. I am no dancer.
If Mrs. Gilbert wishes to dance, for though beginning to feel myself rather an old married man and that my dancing days are over, it would give me very great pleasure at any time to stand up with an old friend like Mrs. Gilbert.
Mrs. Gilbert does not mean to dance, but there is a young lady disengaged whom I should be very glad to see dancing. Miss Krishna Misra.
Miss Misra? I had not observed. You are extremely obliging, and if I were not an old married man, but my dancing days are over, Mrs. Weston. You will excuse me. Anything else I should be most happy to do at your command.
So, this is the amiable, obliging Mr. Elton. Look at him, smiling in high glee with his wife.
He snubbed my dear friend. Oh, poor Krishna.
Ah, look, even Mr. Roy is dancing now. This is a very successful ball. He told me he never danced. He dances quite well.
Who is he with? Oh.
With your delightful young friend.
Krishna.
They make a very handsome couple, do they not?
Your Elton Shahib's conduct was unpardonable.
I do own myself to have been completely mistaken in the Shahib. There is a littleness about him which you discovered and which I did not. I was convinced he was in love with Krishna.
And in return for your acknowledging so much, I will do you the justice to say you would have chosen for him better than he ended up choosing for himself. Krishna Misra has some first-rate qualities which Mem Shahib Elton is totally without.
Come, everybody! Miss Fairfax, Emma, why aren't you dancing? This is a ball!
I am ready, Mr. Weston!
Whom are you to dance with?
With you, if you will ask me.
Will you?
Yes. You have shown that you can dance. And you know we are not really so much brother and sister as to make it at all improper.
Brother and sister? No, indeed.
So hot.
Ah.
Misra!
Churchill Sahib, the water is so cooling.
Be careful, the river is very high today. Strong currents.
I'm all right.
Look out, there's a broken branch in the water. Look out, Miss Misra.
Quick, grab my hand. I'll help you. Are you all right?
Yes.
Take my arm. I'll take you home.
Come in. Oh, Krishna, how are you today?
Much better, Emadi, thank you.
I was just getting ready for our trip to Roy Dada's picnic. You are coming, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Come, sit by me. You look so anxious.
Emadi, I have a sort of confession to make, and then, you know, it will be over.
Please, speak your mind.
I am happily quite an altered creature. Looking back, it seems like madness. I can see nothing at all extraordinary in Elton Sahib now. I do not care whether I meet him or not. Except of the two, I had rather not see him. Mm. I do not envy his wife in the least. I neither admire her or envy her. I think her very ill-tempered and disagreeable. I shall never forget her look the other night. But I wish her no evil.
Oh, my dearest Krishna.
There is an end to Elton Sahib, but I shall never marry.
Why ever not?
There is someone else, but I have not the presumption to suppose. Indeed, I am not so mad. But it is a pleasure to me to admire him at a distance and to think of his infinite superiority to the rest of the world with gratitude.
I am not at all surprised. The service he rendered you was enough to warm your heart.
Service? Oh, it was such an inexpressible obligation. The very recollection of it and all that I felt at the time when I saw him coming, his noble look and my wretchedness before, such a change from perfect misery to perfect happiness.
Krishna, raising your thoughts to him is a mark of good taste. But consider what you are about. Perhaps it would be wisest in you to check your feelings while you can. At any rate, do not let them carry you far, unless you are persuaded of his liking you. Be observant of him. Oh, but yet, Krishna, more wonderful things have taken place. There have been matches of greater disparity. But take care of yourself. Let no name pass our lips. We were very wrong before. We will be cautious now.
Beautiful grounds, and such a gorgeous view from his house.
Yes, beautiful. I do not come here much, as Roy Dada comes to ours so often, and it is very difficult to move around with my father.
Oh, so many fields of paddy, and the water buffaloes lounging in the rivers.
I find the green paddy very restful on the eye.
Will you be so kind when I am missed, as to say that I am gone home? I have said nothing about it to anybody, as it would only be giving trouble and distress.
But you are not going to walk to Grandport alone?
Yes. I shall be home in an hour.
But it is too far. Let me order the carriage. It can be ready in 5 minutes.
Thank you. But I would rather walk.
The heat is dangerous, and you are fatigued already.
I am fatigued. But quick walking will refresh me. We all know at times what it is to be wearied in spirits. Mine, I confess, are exhausted. The greatest kindness you can show me will be to let me have my own way and only say that I am gone when it is necessary. Send my apologies to Roy Babu and tell my aunt I am fine. I shall go back and see to my grandmother.
Oh, of course. As long as you are sure.
Oh, Miss Bhattacharjee, the comfort of being alone sometimes.
Churchill Sahib, you are so red in the face. Is everything...
My aunt was taken ill. Some sort of nervous seizure. And so I was delayed. But had I known how hot a ride it would be, I should not have come at all. The heat is excessive. Never suffered anything like it. Should have stayed at home. Nothing kills me like the heat. Intolerable.
You will soon be cooler if you stand still. Why are you pacing like that?
I met one as I came. Madness in such weather. Absolute madness.
Miss Fairfax?
Walking. On her own, head uncovered in this blasting furnace.
She decided not to stay. Said she felt unwell.
As soon as my aunt gets well, I shall go abroad.
You English always get so cross when you are hot.
Miss Bhattacharjee, please desist from laughing at me. Do you think Mr. Roy would mind if I had a dip in his river?
Why not? You can shout at the water buffalo. I am sure they won't mind your bad humour. No.
Come on, ladies and gents, join me! The water is delicious.
I will never go for another dip in the river again.
You've learnt your lesson. I do believe the sun has quite gone to Mr. Churchill's head.
Indeed.
Oh, I wish I could join him. Oh, I was quite a swimmer when I was a child, and it looks so refreshing.
Father, come on!
The young, so full of energy.
And here I am, an old married man, quite good for nothing.
Munna, bring Sahib a towel, please.
I'm much obliged, sir.
Dry yourself off, son, and come and eat. Mr. Roy has organised a splendid spread.
Oh, and we are much obliged, Roy Babu. Your cook has created the most perfect puffy puri, so light. Oh, and the aloo dom is delicious.
And the cucumber sandwich is off. Perfect.
Cooler and in better humour now?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Roy, for allowing me to splash about.
My pleasure. You look like you were in need of it. Please, have some food.
Oh, thank you. All my favourite dishes. Shall we play a game?
Oh. What sort of a game?
Something to entertain ourselves. Miss Bhattacharjee demands from each of you either one thing very clever, be it prose or verse, original or repeated, or two things moderately clever, or three things very dull indeed. And she engages to laugh heartily at all of them.
Churchill Sahib, but don't use me as an excuse to play your games.
No. I am happy to play. I need not be uneasy. Three things very dull indeed. I shall be sure to say three very dull things as soon as I open my mouth, shan't I?
Oh, Miss Bates, but there may be a difficulty. Pardon me, but you will be limited as to number. Only three at once.
Ah, well, to be sure. Yes, I see what she means. I will try to hold my tongue. I must make myself very disagreeable, or she would not have said such a thing to an old friend.
Oh, for myself, I protest I must be excused. I really cannot attempt to say witty things at everybody's service.
And I have nothing to say that can entertain Miss Bhattacharjee or any other young lady.
I will take your arm and walk with you.
Oh, yes, please do walk with me.
Thank you.
I suspect you're Sahib Churchill of some double dealing, some secret pursuit, Emma. I do believe there are symptoms of his admiration for Jane Fairfax.
No, you are very much mistaken.
And Emma, I must say this. How could you be so unfeeling to Miss Bates, so insolent in your wit to a woman of her age?
It was not so very bad. I dare say she did not understand me.
She understood you perfectly, I assure you. I wish you could have heard her honouring your forbearance in being able to pay her such attentions as she was ever receiving from yourself and your father when her society must be so irksome.
Oh.
Miss Bates is poor. She has sunk from the comfort she was born to, looked down upon by the English and us Indians. If she is to live to old age, she will sink more. She deserves your compassion, not your ridicule. It was badly done.
Ha ha ha.
Oh, wait. You still can't beat me, Emma Betty.
I am letting you in, Papa.
Oh, so you say. I keep thinking of poor Mrs. Churchill.
Oh, she was very ill after all.
I never met her and I never heard any good spoken of her, but I will not speak ill of the dead. Mm. I only hope she did not suffer. And Jane Fairfax has a governess position, finally.
It seems so. Something that Mem Shive Elton set up for her.
It's a shame it's all the way down in Madras. So hot there. You know, Jane is going to be to this lady what Miss Taylor was to you.
I hope for Jane's sake she is treated well.
Roy Babu has been gone a long time now.
Only a week, Papa.
Bhattacharya Mahashay, Weston Shive or Mem Shive?
Mr. and Mrs. Weston, this is a pleasant surprise.
Karamay, Mr. Bhattacharya, I challenge you to a game. My wife must speak with Emma.
You have no chance of winning, Weston Shive. I have been playing this game since I was an infant.
We'll see.
Emma, come. Frank was here this morning on a most extraordinary errand. It is impossible to express our surprise, but he announced an attachment.
What sort of an attachment?
An engagement. What will you say, Emma? What will anybody say when it is known that Frank is engaged to Miss Jane Fairfax? Long engaged.
You're not serious.
They have been engaged since Darjeeling and have kept it a secret from everyone. His aunt would not have approved of the match, but now that she is gone, he is free to choose. It's incredible. I thought I knew him. It has hurt me and Mr. Weston greatly. Oh, on this point, I am wretched. It was mine and Mr. Weston's darling wish that you and he might be attached. I am so sorry, Emma.
I am not in love with Churchill Sahib, if that is what you are worrying about.
Really?
No. To begin with, a little, yes, but for 3 months now, I have cared nothing for him.
Nothing.
You may believe me, Mrs. Weston. This is the simple truth.
I'm so relieved. Mr. Weston and I have been feeling dreadful on your behalf.
No need. But I do feel that Churchill Shive is greatly to blame. He has misled us all.
Yes.
The mysterious gift of the pianoforte.
From him.
The letters which Jane Fairfax walked through the rain for.
From him.
Well, Emma Dee, is this not the oddest news ever? Had you any idea of Churchill Sahib being in love with Miss Fairfax?
If I had, I would have cautioned you accordingly.
Why should you caution me? You do not think I care about Churchill Sahib.
Hi, Ram. Who are you referring to then?
I know we agreed never to name him, but considering how superior he is to everyone else, I thought it was obvious.
Krishna, are you speaking of Roy Dada?
Yes. When we talked about him, it was as clear as possible.
No, I am sure it was a service Churchill Sahib had rendered you in saving you from drowning.
The service I talked of was of Roy Babu asking me to dance when Elton Sahib so publicly shunned me. That was a noble action and made me realize how superior he was to everyone else.
This has been the most deplorable, unfortunate mistake. What is to be done?
You would not have encouraged me if you knew it was Roy Babu. I hope you will not set yourself against it and try to put difficulties in my way.
And does Roy Dada return your affection?
I have been conscious of a difference in his behaviour towards me. He talks to me much more and walks with me, speaking in a kind and sweet manner. He even asked me if my affections were engaged.
Perhaps he was asking on behalf of Shumit Chaudhary.
No, I don't think so. I never should have presumed to think of it at first, but for you. You told me to observe him carefully, and so I have. But now I seem to feel that I may deserve him.
Excuse me, Krishna. I must go back to the house. And I must collect my thoughts. This is, I am...
Oh, Emadi! Please! Don't go! Emadi!
Roy Dada, you are back. You have heard the surprising news.
Jane Fairfax and Frank Churchill?
Yes. You are probably less surprised than the rest of us. I have not forgotten that you once tried to tell me, but I did not listen. I seem to have been doomed to blindness.
Well, time will heal, Emma. Abominable scoundrel. I'm sorry for her. She deserved better.
You are very kind, but you are mistaken. My blindness to what was going on led me to act in a way that I am ashamed of. But I never loved him.
But I thought I could never, I confess from your manners, assure myself as to what degree you felt for him. I knew you liked him and felt that he did not deserve your attentions.
I have never been attached to Churchill, Sahib. I was tempted by his attentions. My vanity was flattered. Later, I realized his flatteries were a habit, a trick with no seriousness behind it. He has imposed on me, but he has not injured me. He never wished to attach me. It was merely a blind to conceal his real situation with another.
He is a disgrace to the name of man. But he is a most fortunate man. So early in life, at 23, to have drawn such a prize? Assured of the love of such a woman.
You speak as if you envy him.
And I do envy him, Emma. You've not asked me what is the point of my envy? You are determined, I see, to have no curiosity. I must tell you what you will not ask, though I may wish it unsaid the next moment.
Oh, then don't speak it. Take a little time and consider. Do not commit yourself.
Thank you.
No, don't go. I stopped you ungraciously just now, and I am afraid I gave you pain. But if you wish to talk to me as your friend, I will listen.
As a friend? Tell me then, have I no chance of ever succeeding? I cannot make speeches, Emma. If I loved you less, I might be able to talk about it more. But you know what I am. I have blamed you, lectured you, and you have borne it as no other woman in India would have borne it. I have been a very indifferent lover, but you understand me. At present, I ask only to hear once, to hear your voice.
You need not despair, Roy Dada. Please tell me more.
There has been a long-standing jealousy, old as the arrival or even the expectation of Frank Churchill. I have been in love with you and jealous of Frank Churchill at the same time. I went away to avoid watching you and Churchill together. I came back when I heard the news that he is to marry Jane Fairfax. I wanted to see how my sweetest Emma bore the news. I'm astonished to hear you declare you never loved him.
I never loved Frank Churchill. It was always you I loved, Roy Dada.
And I love you. Will you make me the happiest man on earth and be my wife?
Yes.
How can this be? Emma, Betty, you said you would never marry. You promised me. It would be far better for you to remain single. Look at poor Miss Taylor. Had to move out. Of course, I like Roy Babu, and yes, I enjoy his visits daily, but why can't we go on as we always have done?
Oh, dear Papa.
I always suspected Roy Babu had a thing for Srimati Bhattacharjee.
How did you know?
The way his eyes softened whenever he spoke of her.
I never knew. How silly I am.
Extremely silly.
And Roy Dada sent you to visit me?
He said you needed a friend, that you were feeling low, and that I should take you out somewhere to cheer you up.
Oh, thank you. It is good to see you.
We were good friends once, were we not?
Oh, yes. And those 6 weeks were the happiest times for me.
Krishna, why did you turn away from me?
Just because a man asks her to marry him, she doesn't have to say yes.
What if the man keeps asking?
Sumit?
My feelings haven't changed. I can keep asking and you can turn me down again if you want, but it would be a shame. I love you.
Ask me again.
Would you like me to write you another letter? You weren't impressed with the last one, were you?
Just ask me.
I think Papa is finally resolved to us marrying.
It was a terrible shock for him. He never wanted to share you with anyone.
Thank you for agreeing to live at Shantigul.
It will make your father easier and he won't feel abandoned.
I thought as long as Papa lived, we would have to be engaged.
But now we are married. Are you happy, Emma?
Very, Roy Dada.
You can't call me Roy Dada now that I am your husband. My name is Raj Kumar.
Shall I call you Mr. R.K.? How about Raj?
Perfect.
In part 2 of Memsaheb Emma, based on Jane Austen's Emma and written by Tanika Gupta, Emma was played by Manjinder Vark, Roy by Navin Chaudhary, Bhattacharji, Silas Carson, Krishna Maya Sondhi, Sumit, Raj Ghatak, Miss Bates and Mrs. Bates, Meera Sayal, Jane Fairfax, Rina Mahoney, Frank Churchill, George Watkins, Mrs. Weston, Tracy Wiles, Mr. Weston, Stephen Critchlow, Mrs. Elton, Evie Killip, and Mr. Elton, Leo Wan. Memsaheb Emma was directed by Tracy Neal.
What did you listen to on Christmas Day? Possum's Book of Practical Cats? Or a robin singing in a field of narcissi? This week, we've singing in igloos too, and fights over jelly and kish. Nabokov remembers Imperial Russia, and Philip Larkin constructs a religion. Pike, Muppets and Stallions, and Whipple Scrumptious Fudge Mallow Delight. Join me, Antonia Quirk, for Pick of the Week this evening at 6:15.